This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stasio. Last week, the Federal Aviation Administration gave a Raleigh-based company permission to fly its commercial drones beyond the line of sight. Precision Hawk is the first company to get this waiver from the FAA. More companies are expected to follow Precision Hawk's lead and boost commercial drone use. My guest is Lauren Onasorge. She's a reporter for the Triangle Business Journal. She's been following the story. Welcome back, Lauren.
Hi, Frank. Thanks for having me.
So tell us about the restrictions that are still in place and what this waiver means for Precision Hawk.
Yes, it's really interesting, actually. So what specifically Precision Hawk received last week is called a Part 107 waiver. So it basically means that instead of moving the drone pilot with the drone doesn't actually have to stay within the line of sight of the drone pilot. So what that means is Precision Hawk, which also flies drones as a service. For example, a company can hire Precision Hawk to bring its drones to that company and assist with operations, can now do that for farmers across North Carolina, across the United States, really. I mean, imagine if you have hundreds of acres, you don't want to have a pilot move every so often to sort of follow that around your field. This way, one drone pilot could theoretically put a drone across the entire field and see all sorts of things. Now, obviously, there are still restrictions because the only thing this waiver does is allow for beyond light line of sight flight. So you still have to operate within the size restrictions. You still have to fly over private land. But what this does is really opens that up potentially for more companies.
And obviously, the business efficiencies are obvious, but then there are safety concerns, which is why the FAA had that rule in place in the first place. Tell us about the fact that, and I think this is illustrative of the fact that Precision Hawk has been working with the FAA on developing these regulations, right?
Yeah, first of all, I'd like to just say that it's very interesting that a Raleigh company is leading the charge in this. If you think about the United States and all of our technology hubs, it's Raleigh, North Carolina that is really leading the charge in this, which is very interesting and very exciting to technology writers like myself that are based here. Precision Hawk has received this waiver, and they have 175 employees. They're based in Raleigh, and this is absolutely huge for them. They're already working in farming. They're already working in oil and gas. They're working in all sorts of industries, and this just allows them to move forward. But what is really interesting about this decision is they can also train other companies to fly beyond line of sight. They've been doing research with the FAA for more than a year, which is why they were granted this waiver. Basically, anyone can get a waiver if you can prove that you can do it safely. And with a year of research under their belt, they have proven that they can do it relatively safely. And that's what the FAA is looking for. This is such a new industry. It's a very critical time for this industry. So they're looking for people that can prove the safety mechanism. And Precision Hawk has done that.
Well, it's interesting to think about this because if you're not in the business world, you think, oh, man, anybody who's early into that business, one of the first and second companies that are doing this kind of work, they've got a real advantage over the rest. But as any business person knows, it's the early bird who catches the worm, but the second mouse who gets the cheese, which is to say you let other companies take the risks and then you follow up at much less expense and kind of do the work without making their mistakes. What's in it for Precision Hawk? Why would they choose to actually get out front, put all this R&D in, knowing that pretty soon other companies are going to be not far behind?
Well, they say they're a triple threat. Not only do they provide this service where they bring their drones out to your farmland, they also offer technology. They have a software platform that is aimed at increasing safety, aimed at utilizing these drones so that they're not just flying over your field, they're collecting actual information. And there are other companies that would like to utilize that technology. So they think that as they train these companies will want to come on board with Precision Hawk technology. So that spreads what Precision Hawk does, potentially more revenue, potentially more jobs, and I think it could potentially be extremely fantastic for Raleigh.
So in a sense, they would love for there to be more drones and more companies flying drones. They don't all have to be them. They've got the technology, they've got the database and the analytical skills. So yeah, you go and fly your drones and then come to us when it comes time to analyze the data.
Exactly. And the executives that I've spoken with say that they don't see this going badly for them. They see every time the FAA opens the window, they think that they're going to be benefiting from all of this expansion. And just think about where we are today with drones as opposed to a year ago, 2 years ago. I think the conversation we'll have a year from now will be incredibly different from what we're talking about now. What you have to remember is this industry is so new. We're talking about using it in farming, in forestry, in research, and things like that. In a year, what will they be using it for? I mean, think about companies like Amazon that are trying to deploy drones to deliver packages. That could potentially be a reality, and this could be one really early door that's been opened.
Yeah, so again, the potential is nearly endless. We're talking about, you mentioned this a couple times, the fact that this is a Raleigh-based company, a little surprising to you. Good news, because they're a line-of-sight company for you as a reporter. I get that. But what does it mean for Raleigh, and why? What is it about Raleigh, perhaps, that made this possible, or is it just a coincidence they happen to be here?
Well, I'm not incredibly surprised just because I've been covering this industry so much. There's so much innovation here, and Precision Hawk saw that. So Precision Hawk, one of its early investors is a guy named Bob Young, who also happens to be their CEO. And you may also have heard of him from a company he co-founded called Red Hat that is located in Raleigh. So the Raleigh area is a place that he is intimately familiar with, a place he's been excited about. So Precision Hawk was based in Canada. They were attracted here not just because of Young, but because of the tech talent, because of the university-driven talent that we have here. North Carolina State University has a lot of research going in this area. They've actually partnered with Precision Hawk. So the workforce alone is a huge boost in Precision Hawk tapping North Carolina.
So you've got this waiver that allows pilots to be essentially anywhere and fly drones that aren't necessarily, they can see out their window. I get that. What are some of the other regulations, and how quickly might they be changed so that you could pave the way for some of the other applications we're talking about? Because it seems to me that once you get the skies full of these things, even the safety restrictions are different than what you had when one company was flying drones over a farm field.
Well, there are still restrictions on where they can fly. Basically, the FAA has put out these rules, and they say that waivers are possible if you can prove you can do whatever it is that you want to do safely. And that's really the key here. And the FAA does not operate at an extremely predictable pace. The rules, people have had all sorts of timelines of when these rules were going to come out. And as you know, commercial rules for drones came out in June. So it's really hard to predict the pace of how these things will sort of change. But I think that it's going to be the industry in combination with the federal government that's going to sort of carve out how we go about this industry in the future.
As you said, it was Precision Hawk's ability to convince the FAA they could do this safely that got them the waiver. But there actually were a lot of close calls in the testing that was done with the FAA, including one pilot who actually lost track of a drone for a while, right?
Well, I'm not absolutely sure about that. What I did is I got the records from the FAA on all of the close calls, all of the drone incidents that have happened over the past year. And there was a flyaway event that was reported. A legally registered drone departed from Lake Wheeler, and it disappeared from its handler sites. It was discovered 1,500 meters away by that company with no incident. That very well could have been Precision Hawk or the NC State Research Initiative, because they do fly out of Lake Wheeler. But Raleigh-Durham International Airport was alerted as a precaution. Just the amount, the levels of caution that the FAA goes through, the whole system goes through whenever there's one of these incidents is extremely interesting. If a pilot sees what they think is a drone, they don't even actually have to figure out that it is a drone. The airport is notified. Authorities are notified. They are really incredibly adept at spreading the word very quickly. And as far as incidents reported to the FAA involving drones, there were 82 of those from August of last year through January, and 11 of those were in North Carolina. And now when I say a close call, that's actually a controversial statement, because as I said, some of these might not be drones. They could be a light in the sky. And what's a close call? I'm sure if a drone had actually hit a plane, we would hear about this on the news. So close call incidents varied, but those are the facts that we have today.
A woman in Virginia actually blasted one out of the sky from her backyard. She just happened to have a shotgun. There was the drone. So She blasted it, but no close call there. So I want to change gears because I want to talk about Google Fiber. That was in the news for a long time. Big news for the Triangle and for the state of North Carolina. What is the state of Google Fiber now in the Triangle?
Oh, Frank, I wish I had a really great update for you. I do. But Google Fiber has been very quiet about what they're doing in the Triangle. Now, there are permits out there that give us some hints. In Raleigh, for example, I believe that they have permits on file at 8 addresses associated with the fiber project. And that's not all implementation. Obviously, we've all seen the crews digging and the tubes sticking out of the ground, but it's not all about that. They're also building things called fiber huts. They're basically little structures that hold the infrastructure that is going to house the high-speed internet. But Google's not really talking about its specific timetable for the Triangle area. I think a quote that I have is about how they're still here, they're still pushing it out, and they're really still trying to get some news for us in the coming weeks, but they haven't released an official announcement yet. But that doesn't mean that that it's been quiet. You may have seen that AT&T's Vice President of Federal Regulatory Affairs, Joan Marsh, actually had a blog post recently that was pretty blunt. I think a quote is something like, "Welcome to the broadband network business, Google Fiber. We will be watching your next move from our rearview mirror and pardon our dust." And that's because companies like AT&T are already pushing out that service. They're not waiting around. They are being very aggressive and trying to get customers before Google Fiber even has a chance to get them on board.
All right. Well, stay tuned. As always, Lauren, a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Likewise. Thank you.
Lauren Onosorge is a reporter for the Triangle Business Journal. You can find out more about her reporting and all we've talked about at our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, a therapist shares her experiences counseling veterans. You'll hear about it on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.